Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
All right, good to have you tuning in tonight. Bottom of the third at Fenway, American League wildcard game. Red Sox leading the Yankees 2-0. The NL game is tomorrow, Cardinals and Dodgers. NHL preseason action tonight. In the third period, Toronto up 6-2 on the Canadiens. Penguins trailing the Sabres 3-2. Nashville leads Carolina 2-1. Islanders with a 2-0 edge on the Flyers. Panthers leading the Lightning 2-1 in the second period. No score, Blues and Stars. The Golden Knights and the Avalanche get underway in a few minutes. Kraken and Canucks in an hour, and in an hour and a half, it's the Coyotes and the Kings. Tomorrow on 630 CHED, face-off show at 5:30, game at 7. The Edmonton Oilers host the Vancouver Canucks. Friday, 5 o'clock for the countdown to kickoff. The game is at 6:30. The Edmonton Elks taking on the class of the CFL, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. However, the Bombers will not have the CFL's leading receiver in the lineup. Kenny Lawler has been arrested on suspicion of impaired driving after a single vehicle accident, and the Bombers have suspended Lawler for that game against the Elks. Lawler issued this statement earlier.
I just want to take this time to apologize to my coaches, my teammates, the organization, my family, the Bomber community, the fans, and let them know I'm truly sorry that, you know, for me to go out and disappoint many people that look up to me. This was a mistake. It was a selfish decision, just a bad decision on my part that I knew better not to get stepped in that car. So I'm sorry to everyone out there.
All right, that's Kenny Lawler, the receiver for the Bombers. His apology after being arrested on suspicion of impaired driving. And like I said, he will not play for the Bombers against the Elks on Friday night. And we welcome back to the show the analyst for Bombers football on CJOB in Winnipeg, one of my favorite guys to have on the show, played 12 years of excellence in the Canadian Football League. It's Doug Brown checking in. Hey, Doug, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on.
It's always great to talk to you. You know, you and I always dive into whatever's going on. This is kind of a bit of a heavier one with Lawler, and you always are kind enough to share your perspective, not just as a broadcaster now, but as a former player. First of all, when you hear that apology, you know, what do you hear? Is that enough to his teammates, or does he need to say something in the dressing room as well?
Yeah, you know, that's just it. We don't know to what extent it went. Coach O'Shea kind of talked a little bit about it and, you know, how contrite he was. And there was mention about how his teammates reacted. It got some comments from Zach Collaris about, you know, guys being angry and frustrated, but at the same time, understanding that players and people make mistakes, unfortunately. And this is a situation where, you know, it's pretty bizarre. He's coming off a game in BC, 12 catches for 205 yards. And literally, 48 hours later, this is the scenario that unfolds. So it's pretty crazy circumstances.
You know, the Lawler situation aside, I want to get your perspective on your life in the locker room with teammates. I mean, football's a large roster. I mean, 50, 60, sometimes up to 70 guys if you factor in practice roster and injured players. You know, when a player does something like that, and there actually is an arrest involved. Now, I don't make it sound like he did, you know, the worst thing in the world, but he was actually arrested. Does that sort of change his standing in the locker room, or are generally athletes quick to forgive each other? You know, what's your experience if anything happened like this while you were playing?
You know what? It reminds me of a story back when I was playing for the Washington Football Club, as they're known as now. And there was actually a week that went by, and we had two players on our roster, active roster, actually get DUIs, like within a couple days of each other. And one of them was an excellent player who was a starter. The other was not. And the starter stayed on the team, and the other one was released. So it is, football and consequences and repercussions, unfortunately, are usually tailored to the candidate and his impact on the team. And for some guys, you know, situations you get yourself in, the team just decides you're not worth it. You know, you're not worth the spotlight and the distraction and the aggravation that comes with something like this. Now, Lawler obviously is an excellent player, and he sounds, like you say, very remorseful, very sincere. I don't know him personally, so I can't speak to how that went over in the locker room, but it sounds like his teammates. I mean, this all started last year, or not last year, but 2019, when Andrew Harris had his suspension for a banned substance, and he missed a couple games. And the team really rallied around him. That's where that "you got my back" mantra all started, because a lot of times people are going to throw stones regardless of whether they've committed similar transgressions or not. And sometimes the only people you can count on to stand up and stick by your side are the guys in that locker room. So it worked out well with the Andrew Harris situation, and obviously a regrettable scenario, but the team rallied around him, and I'm not sure. I don't think that was the compelling force why they won a Grey Cup, but it certainly didn't hurt. And Andrew Harris had a massive chip on his shoulder. But it sounds like Kenny Lawler was a pretty upstanding guy in the locker room, and this is kind of the similar reaction he received from his teammates.
Do you, I mean, I guess maybe I'm kind of asking you to be an armchair GM here. I'll ask it this way. What do you think of the team decision to suspend him for a game?
Well, I think it's pretty standard, right? You look at precedent, and you look at other guys. You know, Charleston Hughes is another star player, I believe, got suspended for a game, and with that goes, you know, a 14th of your salary, your paycheck disappears with that as well. So, and then obviously all the negative attention and publicity. It's a very serious offense, and there are very felt consequences when you factor all those things up. So, it's I would think, you know, GM standpoint, obviously a player of this caliber, you're not going to break any or make any new tracks in the snow trying to do something that hasn't already been precedented by another example, another situation. So I think they just followed the script of what they've seen happen and the reaction that fellow clubs and the CFL has enacted.
All right. Doug Brown from CGOB joining us tonight on Inside Sports, talking about the Kenny Lawler suspension and the upcoming game between the Elks and the Bombers. And Lawler in the lineup or not, the Bombers are pretty substantial favorites in this game. Like, Doug, I look at the CFL this season. I don't think there's anybody on par with the Bombers. I mean, I'm not shocked they're 7-1. I'm shocked that they're not 8-0 now that I've seen it all play out, because they lost to kind of an up and down Toronto team. Like, I just, and I'm not like, I'm not one of these guys that like I'm trying to do a jinx or anything like that. Like, I think they're like, this is a great, great team.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did an interview the other day asking about, okay, you know, what are you worried about this team going forward, and you know, matchups and competition in the CFL, and who they got to worry about? And I'm like, the biggest thing I'm worried about is just injuries with this football team, right? Like, they don't have a lot of depth at quarterback. And, you know, there are players like Andrew Harris, like Willie Jefferson, like Brendan Alexander, like Jackson Jeffcoat. These are guys that if they get hurt and go down, you can't replace superstar players like that of that value and magnitude. So in my mind, I was like, you know, the way it looks right now with the matchups and such, and trust me when I say things could change in a hurry in the CFL, and you never know what can happen. But, you know, to me, that is the biggest concern, I think, for this team going forward is building depth and keeping everybody healthy if they want to have a good opportunity to try and go back-to-back after such a long drought. What an interesting story that would be. But it makes a lot of sense for Winnipeg, because it's a pretty strange place here. So,
all right. Okay. What do you mean pretty strange place there?
Well, it's a different kind of, a place. And that's kind of the streaks we go through, right? You know, don't win a championship for 30 years and then potentially try and get two under your belt in a row.
Okay.
In the middle of a pandemic, right? So it's just apropos for Winnipeg, trust me.
Okay. I want to ask you something else, because I talk about the teams in the CFL. And I say, you know, the Stampeders were good for so long. They didn't just build a franchise. They didn't just build a team. I feel like they built a program. And I feel like O'Shea has done that. First 2 years, 7-11, 5-13. Now playoffs every year. Now a Grey Cup championship. And now they're looking very good again. I hope you kind of understand what I'm getting at. And as you
know, yeah, like a culture. Is, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like how did O'Shea do that? And like, did it actually take, you know, 3-4 years to get that all in place how you want it to be?
Yeah, it wasn't just O'Shea. I think it was Kyle Walters, and it was Wade Miller, and first of all, it was Wade's selection of those guys, and then they knew what they wanted to do, and it took time. You know, they wanted to start building from the draft with, you know, Canadian offensive linemen, because in that respect, you get those guys that are typically Canadian players, and you can pay them less when they're drafted. And you can sign the longer term deals. And they just kind of built off that, right? It started with their draft attitude and strategy that they had there. And then, you know, a lot of the stuff is interesting though, because they fell into it, right? Like if Saskatchewan doesn't re-sign Willie Jefferson, then Winnipeg doesn't have him. And if Matt Nichols doesn't get hurt and Chris Streveler doesn't get hurt, then Zach Kolaris isn't signed. So I think they have created a great locker room culture and a very professional culture in Winnipeg, but they also got very fortunate in a lot of scenarios. And obviously they have a lot of good players, and they've been able to keep them and retain them. And there's, you know, the city as a football destination is looked upon differently now in the CFL, I think, because of the stability they've had and because of the recent success they've had. But don't get it wrong, though. They had a lot of good fortune for this to happen and transpire and go down the way it did, because, like I said, if Matt Nichols is still at the head of this helm and you know, a number of other breaks they didn't get, you know, they're probably not a Grey Cup champion, and they may not be headed down this path right now. So a lot of things had to go right with them, but at least they've had the perspective to step back and embrace them and understand, you know, what pieces are foundational and need to be kept in place in order to have success going forward.
All right, Doug, I got one more for you. Ravens, Broncos. Do you know what I'm going to ask you about here? About the rushing play at the end of the game?
Ravens and Broncos. No, you know what? I haven't.
Okay, here's what happened.
I didn't see that game, so.
Okay, so here's what happened. So the Ravens are winning 23-7. They get the ball back with 4 or 5 seconds left, I think, after an interception. And instead of kneeling down, they call a Lamar Jackson running play. So they gain enough yards to get over 100 team rushing yards for the game, which ties the NFL record for most consecutive 100-yard rushing games. And the Broncos were not happy.
Oh, so they padded their stats, is what you're saying.
Yeah, to get to a milestone to keep a team streak alive. Yeah.
Well, did anyone get hurt?
No, everybody was fine. Jackson ran off to the left. I think he got a bit of a bump and went down.
Okay. Yeah. But the quarterback was fine with it, and it just comes down to what's important for the team, right? Like, if it's important to the guys in the locker room and they care about that, then you do it. Those are your players. Those are your workhorses. Those are your successes and failures right there. So in any situation I've been in, you know, guys that had, you know, there's always been incentives, whether it was number of tackles or percentages of plays that you had to be on the field for, so on and so forth. You know, teams are always trying to accommodate their players and make them happy and happy to be playing the way they are. So if it was important to the quarterback and the Baltimore Ravens, then that's why they did it. I'm sure this wasn't a coach or an owner incentive that or something they wanted done. So as long as it's player-driven, I have absolutely no problem with it whatsoever. And if the Broncos are angry about it, then they should have done something about it, you know? It just, they should worry about winning the game and their own franchise. So who cares?
I like how you put that. Doug, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for the update on the Lawler situation and why the Bombers have been so strong this year. Have a good broadcast on Friday, and I don't know if I'll be able to see you next Friday when you're in town, but hope it all goes well for you, man.
Thank you, my friend. Always good to talk to you, and appreciate coming on your show.
That is Doug Brown, 12 years as a defensive lineman in the CFL, seven-time All-Star, now the color analyst for the Bombers on CJOB in Winnipeg. So, yeah, no Kenny Lawler for the Bombers against the Elks, but still a really, really tall task for the Elks here, a home and home here against Winnipeg, and Elks are pretty much in must-win territory.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
780-496-0063 is the hotline presented by CertainTeed Professional Grade Building Materials. Back in a couple of minutes. Red Sox leading the Yankees 3-0. You know, a lot of hope for the Elks going into the season that they were going to have a good defensive line. Boateng, Moore, Betts. You know, you've seen Koskinen play sometimes and look not bad, but they haven't had a lot of pressure. Well, I should say this. They did early. They had 9 sacks in their first 3 games. Now 7 games into the season, the Elks are just at 13 sacks. And head coach Jamie Elizondo commented on the lack of pressure on opposing quarterbacks.
I'm always going to tell you we need to generate more pressure because, if you know, that's just a fact. It starts in the trenches up front. So we could hit a quarterback 32 times and sack him 8 times. I'm still going to say we need more pressure. So that being said, I thought we generated more pressure early on in the season. You know, it's pressure comes from a number of different things, not only the D line, but zone blitzes, different front looks, those types of things. And so the other part is teams have been getting the ball out a little faster against us, and sometimes that negates the sack, you know, just in terms of numbers.
All right, something to watch for there going into Friday's game, and an ongoing story for the Elks, not just this season, but several seasons. Special teams, not very good, not a lot of returns. And they've been scored on a couple times. Terry Eisler is the special teams assistant for the Elks.
Yeah, I think that's been frustrating, and field position in terms of where the offense starts, certainly not very good, and that's one thing that we've talked about we have to be better at. And the turnover ratio is another one. We're not winning that. We got to get some turnovers on special teams. So, but mainly the return game, we've worked hard in the last couple weeks. I thought we saw a little bit better, you know, from the guys in terms of the punt return was 11.3 last week. So we expect that to be a little bit better. And kickoff return, we're very close in kickoff return. So we're hoping to spring one and give our offense a better chance, you know, in terms of field position.
All right, Elks on Friday. Coverage will start at 5 o'clock with the countdown to kickoff. We'll have some fun with Chris Sheets, and we'll dive into some Connor McDavid said next. All right, bottom of the fourth, Red Sox lead the Yankees 3-0 in the American League wild card game. Hockey tonight, preseason action. Maple Leafs ring up the Canadiens 6-2 in overtime. The Sabres and Penguins are tied 4-4. Also in overtime, the Predators and Hurricanes are tied 2-2. The Islanders shut out the Flyers 3-0. Late in the third, Florida leading Tampa Bay 3-1. After 40 minutes, Blues and Stars in a 1-1 tie. And late in the first period, Golden Knights leading the Colorado Avalanche 1-0. Coming up in about half an hour, actually, Kraken and Canucks. And the Coyotes will play the Kings at 8:30. You can follow me on Twitter, at Reid Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. I do not post pictures of my meals. I had a poll. Well, a poll's still going on. 830 people have voted. Well, maybe some of them are bots. I guess on Twitter, some of them might be. Can a bot vote, Kellen?
It depends on if that bot is designed to vote or not. So, sure.
They can design bots to vote in
yes.
polls.
Yes.
Is that true, or are you just making that up?
No, I think it's true.
Pretty sure.
As far as I know.
Because I thought I read somewhere that however many Twitter followers you have, you probably only have about 2/3 of that many. I thought that's, it was like a third of the accounts on Twitter are
that
bots.
Sounds about right, yeah.
But somebody has to create the bot. But why do they create a bot to fight? I don't understand. Anyway.
Boredom.
People do mean things online. It's quite a sad place.
Mm-hmm.
856 Twitter accounts have voted. How many goals for Jesse Puljujärvi this season? Leading the way at 60%, 20 to 26 goals. And then a really optimistic 27% saying Puljujärvi will get 27 goals or more. 12% of the people say 13 to 19 goals, and 12 goals or less apparently you should not have even put as an option. That is at 0.9%. So there you go. You can vote in the poll because predictions are fun, especially when we're in the preseason and the games don't count in the standings. The Oilers play on Thursday at Rogers Place against the Vancouver Canucks. The faceoff show is at 5:30 here on Ched. The game will start at 7. Then we'll have the football game Friday, Elks at Bombers, and then another showdown between the Canucks and Oilers to conclude the preseason. That is on Saturday night. Interested to see how the Oilers line up at practice tomorrow. They did not practice today. And, you know, Bob and I were talking last night on the Faceoff show. Is it time to see? I'd like to see Ryan McLeod on the wing, maybe on a line with Devin Shore, if both those guys are in the top 12. Of the players fighting for spots, you know, I'd have Perlini on the team. I think you have to. I think you have to. I realize he's got an incredibly hot stick, and he probably isn't going to keep that up, but I think you have to reward him for that. Shore is going to be there. I'd have Benson and McLeod in the NHL at this point. I think Sevier's probably earned a contract. Turris might be the odd guy out for me. So maybe he gets sent down, but we'll see how it plays out. Again, I'm not sure what lineup they're going to go in Vancouver. Do they maybe give three of the big guys a night off and play all five of the guys competing for spots in the bottom six? That might be an option. We'll see how Mike Smith is as well. As Dave Tippett told you, he left practice early on the weekend, wasn't feeling great, didn't play yesterday against Calgary. He was going to skate on his own today to see how he felt. Same deal with Chris Russell, who should make his preseason debut coming up on Thursday. So some things to keep in mind there. You'll be interested in this, Kellen. The Seattle Seahawks, They're in the Thursday nighter against the LA Rams. The Seahawks are going to wear those lime green jerseys.
Oh, right on.
I'm talking about? Or not just the jerseys, the whole kit.
So you can easily spot the players from outer space on Thursday.
Yeah, those are the ones. In case Joe Buck is going to do play-by-play from the space station.
Or from the Goodyear blimp.
I believe they call it Action Green.
Action Green.
Is it not lime green? Am I missing something? I'm calling it Action Green.
I would call it lime green.
I guess that makes it sound a little more viter, so they don't sound like there is a lime, a fruit, or a vegetable. I don't know.
At least it's not Soylent Green. Soylent Green.
Yeah, your Soylent Green jerseys would be something else entirely. It's people. I'm telling you, it's people.
Soylent Green is people.
Yes, the Soylent Green jerseys would be. That'll be something we market. We'll have that in the slaw. We'll have a tag team called Soylent Green.
Soylent Green. That's actually a good name for a tag team.
In the Sylvan Lake Alliance of Wrestling, for anybody unfamiliar with the slaw. It's a wrestling federation, an alliance. Kellen and I founded a few years ago. Roadhammer is our undisputed heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
Roadhammer is a listener to the show. Okay, so Soylent Green, yet another brilliant idea Kellen and I have had here on Inside Sports. Connor McDavid had this to say after the game last night. He's driving to the net. He gets tripped, goes into the goalie. Puljujärvi shoots the puck in off McDavid. Flames challenge for goalie interference. A goal stands. Here's what McDavid said about the play.
Yeah, and I think it's, obviously they have the right to defend their net and, defend me trying to get in there. But, when the stick kind of comes in into the feet there, like Tanev's did, it's a dangerous play for me and for the goalie. I think, I don't want to go flying in there. The goalie doesn't want me flying in there. And the guy that's left safe is the defenseman that, was sloppy with his stick. So, I would like... you know, I think you'd like to see that called a little bit more. You know, protects the guy driving the net. And obviously, we want to you know, increase offense, and the guy has to have the right to defend the net as well. But you know, when the stick gets caught up in the feet and sends someone flying into the net, I think you'd like to start seeing that called a little more.
And did you knew right away you were okay? Like there wasn't like you were fine on the play. Obviously, it has similarities to the one that you were hurt on, but you were good right from the start.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a couple seconds where you do a quick check on yourself and you know, see what hurts, and if nothing, then all good, I guess. But again, it's a play that's dangerous, and you know, I obviously don't want to go flying into the net. I want to protect the goalie just as much as the defenseman does. So. You know, I'd like to see it maybe called a little bit, but, you know, ultimately, that's not my decision.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty clear on the replay that he was tripped, and I know oil country holds its breath when McDavid drives in like that, but what did he say a couple of years ago when he was hurt in that regular season finale against Calgary and paid $100 million to take the puck to the net, so he's not going to stop doing it. Meaningless game, ultimately. Preseason, I was a little surprised the Flames challenged it. To me, it was obvious that McDavid was knocked down by Tanev on the play. And I think sticking the foot out like that should be a penalty. It wasn't called, but I think the right call that the goal stood. So, you know, McDavid has been asked about the officiating few times since the end of last season. Obviously, he's careful what he says. I mean, you don't want to say stuff that's going to irritate the referees or get you in the bad books or cost you calls along the way. But he's talked about consistency, and I think that's what a lot of you want. You know, we'll see how long they enforce the new cross-checking standard that they've been talking about in the preseason, which is something I would like to see. I'd like to see cross-checking called more often, especially if it's something from behind against a player, you know, maybe not necessarily expecting to get hit or in a little more vulnerable position. There was a cross-check call last night on a player in front of the net that I thought was an appropriate one. So that's something else to keep an eye on for sure. It is 7:42. It is still 3-0 for Boston in the top of the fifth.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Leading the Yankees in the AL wildcard game. Always fun to catch up with Chris Sheets. What is he up to tonight? We'll tell you when we get back. Well, the voice you heard a couple of commercials ago, Chris Sheets, is going to check in now. He was talking about the Hope Mission in that spot. Of course, Chris Sheets with Kissin' Country 103.9. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
You know what, Reed? We're doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, well, I always appreciate you coming on. I know you're incredibly busy. You're always doing something to help other people. You're always a guy with a lot of energy. You put other people first. So with that intro, I'll let you tell it. What are you doing right now? What's going on?
Thank you. We're currently on the brick field at Commonwealth Stadium. We've been doing this for the last 6 years for the Hope Mission. And again, the Yards of Hope Radiothon came up with a brainwave 6 years ago that we'd see if we could get across the field by raising funds for the wonderful Hope Mission and all the great things that they do throughout the community, whether it's at the Mission or the Herb Jameson Center or just basically getting out and doing things. They actually deliver 3,000 bagged lunches to schools where children that wouldn't have a lunch actually get a lunch. And that's the kind of stuff that they do throughout our community. So it's a no-brainer. So we started at 6 o'clock this morning with Matt, Jack, and I. And, let's just say we've had an incredible day, my friend.
What was the most incredible thing that happened?
You know, the 5 o'clock hour, we've seen a lot of money being raised over the last number of years, but nothing will ever be like the 5 o'clock hour here. Basically, we start moving down the field and we slowly move in the morning, and we have a pretty good day, and we hopefully get halfway down the field by the end of the first day, and then we stay overnight, which we're going to do just under the few lights that are on here at Commonwealth on the field. And then we start again tomorrow morning, and we hope to raise a significant amount of money and get to the end of the field by the end of the broadcast. Well, let's just say that we got to the end of the field at about 6:30 this evening for the $110,000.
Really?
So we all looked at each other and said, well, now what? And we all decided, okay, maybe I decided for Matt, because you know Matt Reed, he was itching to go home and get into his comfy bed. But he said, let's do it. Let's stay overnight and see how much money, how much further can we go? Can we get down the field another time? Maybe another time and a half, who knows, because people are really responding again this second year of COVID.
Well, that is awesome to hear. And yeah, I mean, you and I do this interview every year. You've never, like, usually you're around midfield or like the, you've crossed and you're at the, so you're already there and you're seeing how far you can, well, that is awesome for Edmonton and area and all the Kissin listeners and many obviously Ched listeners as well. So that, and you guys actually, what do you like move your, you actually have kind of a desk or a table you move down yard by yard?
We actually have placards that were made by William Huff many years ago, just numbers, and we just slowly moved them down the field, and we kind of hang out. We had to get off the field and kind of get out of the bubble because the Elks were practicing earlier in the day. That's kind of a funny thing, actually. At one point, the Elks were practicing, and Jack said, I think somebody's cheering for us. And then we realized that they were practicing offense and they were practicing to play in Winnipeg, which is a very loud stadium, and they were playing crowd noise. I said, no, they're not cheering for us, Jack.
Right. Okay. Well, that is so encouraging to hear. And now where will you sleep right on the field or what do you go in, like in a dressing room? What happens?
No. The whole idea is to sleep outside like people would have to if they didn't have, and it's the luxury is the wrong word because it's not like living in your own home, but the mission provides a shelter for people. Of course, the Herb Jameson Center that just reopened this past weekend offers shelter overnight for people, and we basically get an idea of what it would be like to not have any shelter at all. We do have sleeping bags, got them from Cabela's years ago, and they're nice and warm, but no matter what happens, if it starts to rain or whatever, and knock on wood, we've had a pretty good stretch of weather for the last 6 years. We haven't really, we've got a little bit of a light sprinkle one year, but we haven't been rained on or snowed on yet, at the end of the day, it's just an idea of what it would be like without the important Hope Mission, which, by the way, I've actually stayed there a few times overnight. And, again, it's not the most comfy place on the planet because you'd much rather be in a home in a bed, but it's so much better than sleeping on the streets.
Well, I mean, I'm blown away by the reaction and the dedication for you, Matt and Jack as well. That's really incredible. Can you like, who else is there? Like what's like you do the sidelines, people go to Elks games. What does it feel like being in that big stadium and it's just a few people?
It feels strange. Like it really does. It's really surreal, of course, but you can hear the sirens and you wonder if, that's not first responders going to deal with, somebody that, of course, doesn't have a place to live. You hear all the noise at the top, Air One's flying over throughout the night. And, I mean, it's just downtown is busy and you can hear it like never before when you're down here and doing this. And by the way, I do want to do a shout out to our buddy Matt O'Donnell of the Edmonton Elks. Every year he comes by and drops off a sizable donation, and they're having a tough season, but he's still such a great guy. And Sean White stopped by as well just to give his encouragement and thank the listeners that and viewers of Global that are also contributing, of course. So I want to thank the Edmonton Elks for allowing us to do this under the situation, the city of Edmonton, Jason Fessick and everybody here, Paul. They made it happen under some real complicated situations because of the current, of course, COVID situation.
Yeah. Well, Chris, this is awesome. Thanks for the update. And just remind people again how they can pitch in.
You know what? The phone lines are not open anymore. Our phone volunteers, they work from 6 in the morning straight through till 7. But you can give online right now at hopemission.com. It's, of course, if you make a donation over $20, I'm no accountant, but I believe it's tax deductible.
your accountant, Chris Sheets, told you that. And so you're not going to miss that money. $54 basically feeds and takes care of the needs of 20 less fortunate individuals. Reed, you were born where?
Where was I born?
Yeah.
I was born in Kitchener-Waterloo, Ontario, my friend.
I'm telling you, Reed Wilkins, born in Kitchener-Waterloo, Ontario, or Chris Sheets, born in Thorsby, Alberta, never had to deal with some of the challenges that others have had to deal with. We drew a pretty good card, right? And there's others that just didn't. So at the end of the day, I think it's our duty and our responsibility to do what we can for others.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Chris, thanks for doing this. All the best, you guys. Have fun.
Thank you to the Ched listeners that are stepping up and helping out. HopeMission.com, if you want to go there right now, you can be part of, hopefully, an amazing total by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yeah, good stuff. Definitely good. That's so cool what they're doing. Thanks, Chris, for coming on the show. So for the Hope Mission, and yeah, so they've already driven the field. They move a yard for every 1,000 yards, so they've already done that, and now they're seeing how far they can come back. Man, oh man, that is really cool. I love having Chris Sheets on the show, and that's an important thing. Totally different type of driving down the field at Commonwealth than what we usually talk about. That is excellent stuff. Okay. Here's what I can tell you. Let's update the scoreboard here before Inside Sports comes to a conclusion. It is the American League wildcard game. It is in the top of the sixth, and the Red Sox, who are playing at home, lead the Yankees 3-0. Tomorrow, it'll be the St. Louis Cardinals and LA Dodgers in the National League. NHL. All right, we've had some finals here in the last half hour. Predators beat the Hurricanes 3-2 in overtime. Penguins beat the Sabres 5-4. That one was in a shootout. Islanders finished off the Flyers 3-0. Panthers beat the Lightning 3-2. The Maple Leafs won at home 6-2 against the Canadiens. About 7 minutes into the third, Dallas with a 2-1 lead on the St. Louis Blues. After the first now in Denver, the Golden Knights lead the Colorado Avalanche 2-0. Kraken and Canucks coming up, and the Coyotes and the Kings will get going in about 45 minutes. The Oilers did not practice today. They will get back at it tomorrow, so we'll have the updates there if you want to follow along online. And, of course, Bob Stauffer will have Oilers Now from noon to 2 tomorrow. I will have Inside Sports from 6 to 8. Scheduled to join me tomorrow evening. This is going to be fun. Former NHL linesman Randy Mitten is going to be on the show. That'll be cool to talk to Randy for sure. All right. Our guest tonight, besides Chris Sheets, thanks to Doug Brown and Jack Michaels. The producer of Inside Sports is Dave Campbell. Your studio producer this evening is the one and only Kellen Kennedy. My name's Reed. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great night.
630 Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Ched.